We are talking about a new drug, and a new drug about asthma. And you know this slide because you have already seen that. And as you can see, there are different steps. Step two with the low doses of inhaled corticosteroid, and the step three, low doses inhaled corticosteroid, the long-acting beta-2 agonist, and step four, medium and high doses of inhaled corticosteroid and long-acting beta-2 agonist. And you have this increase, and I want to show you that the drug that we are going to talk about, the frutiform, could be adapted to all these different steps. And also, as you mentioned and just previously, I think there are different things to think when you are treating a patient with asthma. And particularly the symptoms and the control, of course, all is based on the control. All the GINA guideline is based on the control, and they are very, very easy question and to know if a patient is controlled or not. But also you have to check the inhaler technique and the adherence of the patient. So, Flutiform is a combined inhaled corticosteroid fluticasone, you know, of course, fluticasone, and a long-acting beta-2 agonist, the formoterol, in a single HFA-based inhaler. Fluticasone has a potent, you know, fluticasone is a potent anti-inflammatory activity in the lung, and formoterol is known to be the fastest long-acting beta-2 agonist. So what are the indications of the frutiform? And the frutiform is for the patient not adequately controlled by inhaled corticosteroid, plus as needed, short-acting beta-2 agonist. And also in patients already adequately controlled on both inhaled corticosteroid and long-acting beta-2 agonist. So there are three different doses for frutiform. You have the 250, the 125, and 50. This is for the fluticasone, and 10, 5, and 5 for the formoterols. And I think it's interesting to have all these dosages. And then after, I will go to the clinical studies, but to see if these dosages are adapted to all the steps of the JANA guideline. So you can use, because the JANA guideline, of course, you can increase the treatment, but also you can decrease the treatment and to change the treatment, the dosage, according to your patient. And this is very important to have all this spectrum, the large spectrum for a drug. What are the clinical program? In fact, it's very easy, and of course it's not very new, and you'll see that it was important for them, and I will show you why it was important for them to demonstrate that first the frutiform was better than the unique component and single component, formoterol or fluticasone. This is what they call the monotherapy comparison. And then after, they have to demonstrate that the combined, the frutiform, was equivalent to the combined fluticasone and formoterol. For the monotherapy, for the comparison of frutiform versus one single treatment, they used the two main objectives were the change in mean morning pre-dose FEV1 from the baseline for the study. In fact, you compare the FEV1 at the beginning of the study and the FEV1 at the end of the study. And of course, the mean change in FEV1 with frutiform versus formoterol alone indicated the contribution of fluticasone to the combination. Because you have this different, the FEV1 at the beginning and the FEV1 at the end, of course, comparing to the formoterol, the fluticasone will make the difference between the dose. And to compare also the effect of the formoterol, they compare the change in mean morning FEV1 from the pre-dose at baseline to 2 hours post-dose FEV1 at the study end. That means at the beginning, the patient took the drug, frutiform or formoterol or fluticasone, and then they measured the FEV1 2 hours after taking the drug. at the beginning of the study, at the end of the study. Here is the design of the of one of the studies. Of course, I won't show you all the studies. I will show you because they are all the same. But I wanted just for you to see all the different, the design of the study. So they took the patient, fluticasone, 50 microgram twice a day, and the run-in period was 2-4 weeks. There were more than 470 patients. And they compared four arms, fluticasone 110, fluticasone 100 microgram, formoterol 10 microgram, and placebo for 12 weeks. And then they compare. They compare their FEV1. Their FEV1, as you can see that, this is the fruitiform, is it in orange, and green you have the formoterol, and you look at the change in FEV1 at the beginning, of course there's no change, at the end. And of course, fruitiform is higher than formoterol because of the effect of the fruticasone. The fruticasone has an effect. We know that for more than 20 years, then the combined associating beta-2 agonist and long-acting beta-2 agonist and inhaled corticosteroid is better than long-acting beta-2 agonist. And here is another way to represent the difference. It's almost half, and it's quite reassuring. Then the second point is to compare the post-FEV1 2 hours after taking the treatment. This is the beginning, 12 weeks after, orange fluticasone, yellow fluticasone. And of course, you have this difference. This difference is due to the formoterol. And again, another way to express, and also you have this difference. There are, of course, several other studies, because this is with low doses of inhaled corticosteroid, but they did that with also with 250 and 500 microgram. But also now you have the comparison studies, so they compare the combination the fluticasone versus fluticasone and formoterol together, not together. The comparison was fluticasone and formoterol in a separate inhalers. And here, the idea is always the same. You look at the change in FEV1 at the beginning, at the end, and the change in the 2 hours after taking the treatment. You have the design of the study, 200 microgram of fluticasone during 2 and 4 weeks, the run-in period, 600 patients, 3 arms, fluticasone 520, fluticasone 500, fluticasone 500, plus formoterol 24 hours. So this is the way, the comparison, the important comparison. And what we found that there was no difference between fluticasone orange, fluticasone the yellow one. There was no difference between the two, the fluticasone versus fluticasone plus formoterol. And now this is for the FEV1, and for the pre-dose FEV1 and for the post-dose FEV1, exactly also the same. So I think it's very important for this drug. Of course, they use the molecules which are very known, and it's not, the results are not very surprising, but it was important to demonstrate that. And if we summarize first of all that fluticasone is superior to either of its components, and fluticasone is equivalent to fluticasone and formoterol together. One word about safety and tolerability. Of course, there's no problem because we know very well the drugs for ages. From the middle of the 90s, we know that these drugs are very well tolerated. There are millions of asthmatics who take this drug without any problem. But also, it was important to demonstrate and that there was no change and no adverse effect due to whatever. Okay, now I would like to underline a little bit more on what is very novel in this product. Because, of course, the molecule, we know for asthma, there has no very important breakthrough in the last 20 years about the molecule. The molecules are almost the same, and they are almost as potent as the one or two another. But when you are dealing about inhalers, you have to think about device. And I think in this case, thinking about the device and thinking about the way to administer the molecule is very important. And I think maybe the breakthrough in this for this drug is related to the device. So a little bit complicated, but not so complicated, about what are the mechanisms of aerosol particle deposition. There are four different mechanisms. The first one is in the impaction. The impaction is in fact related to the large particles, because the impaction, for example, is the impaction of the particles on the posterior wall of the oropharyngeal parts of the respiratory tract. It's related to the high speed flow, and it's the deposition on the large airways. This is the impaction. The interception is related to the anatomical division of the bronchi. For example, if a particle impacts on the division of a bronchi, there is an interception. And the two last are very important. Why they are very important? Because they deal with the deposition in the peripheral airways. And peripheral airways are very important for asthma. First is the sedimentation. Sedimentation is very easy. It's the gravitational forces. That means the particles goes deep into the bronchi, and then if there is no movement, if there is no breathing, the particle deposit according to the gravitational force. And this is important for smaller particles. And the last one is the Brownian phenomenon, or the suspension, the Brownian movement. It's for peripheral particles, for the particles, very small particles in the peripheral airways, close to the alveolar part. And at this moment, there is the particles. The flow is very very low, and the deposition of the particle is completely erratic. And this is the four mechanism of aerosol particle deposition. So, when the lung deposition is dependent of different factors, and I'm going to talk about three factors, about the inhalation flow rate and the plume characteristics, and then after about the particle size. The first one is the optimal inspiratory flow. According to the device that you use, the inspiratory flow can vary. For example, if you took this one, the AQLR, it varies from 30 to 90 liters per minute. This one, the tubular, from 30 to 90 liters per minute. So it needs a very strong inspiratory flow. In contrast, with the PMDI, you have 25 to 60 liters per minute. So lower in inspiratory flow. And this is very important in terms of deposition, in terms of penetration of the particles. Why? Because when you are using a dry power inhaler, you require fast and a deep inhalation. You suck up the drug from the inhaler. And so the particles are coming with a very high speed into your bronchi, into the mouth and into the bronchi. In contrast, when you are using an MDA, that requires a slow and deep inhalation with inspiratory flow rate less than 60 liters per minute. And so the penetration is different as compared to the dry power. And the airflow velocity is very, very important. Why it's so important? Because if you increase the inspiratory flow, that reduces the residence time of the particles within the bronchi. I told you that when you stop breathing, why do we stop breathing after inhalation? It's just for the particles to have time to deposit. It's the sedimentation phenomenon. So it's the smaller particles which can deposit in the bronchi. And also the same for the Brownian movement. It needs some time to have the deposition of these small particles. And of course, you need a minimal inspiratory flow to have the penetration of the particles. But again, if the speed is too important, if the velocity is too important, the deposition will be concentrated on the large airways. And what about the plume characteristic, the plume effect? If you remember, with the old CFC propellants, the patient they felt very well when the gases were coming, when the particles were coming. They say to you, "I have something in my mouth and in my throat." But now, thanks to the plume system, the velocity is slower, so the penetration is better. You don't have this impression of impaction. And of course, the plume effect, the slower is when the plume effect is important, you need to have a slower velocity. And here you have the data of the comparison of different devices. And you can see that the frutiform has a 42% slower than the fruticasone propionate. As you can see here, you have that the frutiform, you have the fruticasone, and you have the maximum velocity. And you can see that the velocity with the plume effect is lower than with the MDI having fruticasone and salmeterol. And also, and I think if you understand very well that the velocity is very important for the deposition, I think it's very, very important also for your patients. For when they take the drug, why do they have to be slow and to have to make a deep breath? The second point, very important, is the particle size. Why the particle size are very important? Here you have a scheme. We know that for a very long time that, well, we've large particle, more than 5 micron, the deposition is mostly on the oropharyngeal part and also in the mouth. And this is important and it is well known. With fine particle, less than 5 micron, the deposition is mostly, because it's statistical, is mostly in the intrathoracic, in the lung, it's a lung deposition. And the smaller, the deeper the particles goes into the lung, but when they are too small, they can be removed. So in fact, you need to have 5 to 3 is the right particle size. When you are too small, the particle size can be removed after breathing. The very small particles are removed and they get off the lung. Is the representation, the statistical representation, it's from Pritchard, but there are also other illustration of the deposition. You have the bronchial part, it's the green one. The green one, you can see that 5 micron is the particle size, the aerodynamic particle size, which is the best for the deposition in the bronchi. For the alveolar part, the best size is between 2 and 5. And for the total, you can see that 5 is the right one. And for example, for frutiform, the MAD, that means the medium mass aerodynamic diameter, is 3.5, and which with a small standard deviation, that means it's around here with a small standard deviation. So very large proportion of the medication are related with small particles. And how to measure the particle size? To measure the particle size, to use a cascade impactor, an Anderson cascade impactor. You have the device, the flow rate, it's 28.3 liters per minute, it's standardized. For such a cascade impactor, it's usually this flow rate. And this is usually what we consider, that the upper thoracic deposition is above these stages, because the stage 4 is from 4.7 to 5.8 micrometer. And underneath, the other is the lung deposition. And of course, it's very interesting to use this device to compare the different medication. And here you have the results obtained with the Frutiform HDI emitted with constant fine particles. This is the fine particle fraction, that means the particles less than 5 micron. And this is the different component, Frutiform, Fluticasone, Budesonide, Beclometasone. So you have, and as you can see, that 40% of Frutiform is related to small particles, to particles smaller than 5 micron. As compared, this is the powder, you have only 10%, and the MDI is around 25%. So I think this is for the inhaled corticosteroid, this is for the corticosteroid component, and this is for the LABA component. So it's very, very interesting to see all this data to understand what is the penetration of a drug into the lung. So in conclusion, Frutiform is a new treatment for adolescent and adult asthmatic patients. And of course, it combines two very good molecule for asthma, fluticasone and formoterol. And what I would say it's very particularly new in this device is the airflow velocity and the particle size. And thanks to that, I think it's better for the lung penetration. And of course, it's always the problem. We would like to have face-to-face comparison, but it's never possible. But, of course, I think for patients who are in trouble with the inspiratory flow, younger children or older children, or patients who are a little bit in trouble when they use device, I think this device is a good option for these patients. Thank you very much.